Hello, and welcome to The Deep Dive. I'm Joe Ward.
And I'm Jean Chatoris.
Our mission today is, it's an exhaustive analysis based on some critical intelligence shared by a listener.
Yeah, and the title really says it all.
It does. It's titled, Why U.S. Federal Civilian Agencies Should Adopt Red Seal to Meet Initiatives, Mandates, and Mission Requirements to Secure and Accelerate Speed to Mission.
That's a mouthful, but every word there is critical.
It is. So we're going to dive deep into the massive systemic challenges that really every federal agency is facing right now.
We're talking about everything from, existential threat actors to just the crushing weight of compliance mandates.
And we're going to unpack the specific threats driving this huge modernization push, and more importantly, how a proactive exposure management platform can address these core government challenges. Things like compliance friction and, frankly, resource overload.
And when you say government, we're talking about organizations whose success or failure directly impacts national security, public health, all of our basic infrastructure.
Right.
That phrase in the title, accelerate speed to mission, that's the whole ballgame.
Yeah.
For way too long, cybersecurity has been the bottleneck, not the enabler.
And the intelligence we've been looking at makes it perfectly clear that this new era, driven by these, persistent and sophisticated nation-state actors, it demands a total strategic pivot.
A pivot that requires absolute verifiable network visibility.
So let's frame this up. We're looking at a solution that really promises a triple punch. Visibility, validation, and velocity. And we have to start with the why. Why now? Why are the old methods suddenly failing so spectacularly that the government is forced to, throw out the entire playbook?
It really comes down to a fundamental change in the threat landscape. The government's whole approach to cybersecurity is going through what we're calling a seismic shift.
Okay.
We are witnessing the definitive forced end of perimeter defense.
That model, the whole castle and moat strategy, felt so secure for so long, didn't it? You build a big wall, put all your data inside, and just assume everything internal is trustworthy.
And that assumption has failed catastrophically. I mean, breaches aren't happening because a firewall failed. They're happening because an attacker got one foothold.
Usually a phishing email or something.
Exactly, or a trusted third party. And then they moved laterally, completely unimpeded, inside the network.
So the mandates now just reflect that new reality.
They have to. The shift is entirely toward zero trust architecture, continuous monitoring, and crucially, data-centric security.
And just to be clear for everyone, this isn't some friendly suggestion from the White House. This is law now. It's codified. It has deadlines.
That's right. We're talking about Executive Order 14028, which mandated immediate steps for improving national cybersecurity, and then OMD Memorandum M2209.
Which is the one that operationalizes it, right? It sets the hard deadlines for agencies to actually achieve zero trust across five pillars.
Exactly. And the underlying driver for all of this is what they call mission resilience.
So if systems are constantly compromised, or if the compliance burden is so high it just stops modernization, the mission stops.
The mission grinds to a halt. Security has to enable the mission, whether that's delivering healthcare to veterans, managing nuclear research, or just handling tax data. To get that resilience, the old manual, paper-driven compliance model, it just had to go.
And the poster child for that old way of thinking was the snapshot audit. That traditional compliance model just feels completely incompatible with modern IT. Why did it fail so badly?
It failed because it was based on a completely false assumption of static risk.
Static risk?
Yeah. The Federal Information Security Management Act, or FISMA, it required an agency to do this thorough manual assessment, a snapshot in time audit, usually every 3 years.
Every 3 years.
Just to get an authority to operate. And
every 3 years. I mean, my home Wi-Fi password probably changes more frequently than that. In today's IT world, that's an eternity.
It is. I mean, think about how fluid networks are today. Agencies are using hybrid clouds. Virtual machines are spun up and torn down in minutes.
Firewall rules change daily.
Daily. So an ATO that was granted based on a paper audit from last year or even last month offers zero assurance about your security posture today. The risk posture just isn't static.
Okay, so the government recognized this and mandated the shift toward Information Security Continuous Monitoring, or ISCM. It's defined in NIST SP 800-137. This sounds like the obvious fix, but how hard is this to actually implement for a huge civilian agency.
Oh, it's tremendously difficult moving from that checkbox compliance mentality to a genuine, continuously monitored system is. It's a massive cultural and technical upheaval.
I can imagine.
The NIST framework says you have to continuously collect and analyze data, but this immediately slams into the primary obstacle that our intelligence highlights over and over again, the visibility gap.
So you can't continuously monitor anything if you can't even trust your own network diagram.
Yeah.
Why are these agencies with these enormous IT budgets still relying on manual diagrams?
Because the network topologies are just incredibly complex. Historically, you'd have network architects using tools like Microsoft Visio to map everything out. But the second you save that Visio file, it's obsolete. Instantly.
Every configuration change, every new virtual machine, every new routing table entry just invalidates it.
Completely. So effective ISCM fails right out of the gate because the federal IT teams lack an automated, unified, and most importantly, an accurate view of their network. They're basically flying blind, relying on tribal knowledge.
Right, relying on that one person who knows how the firewall rules interact with the routers and the NAT devices.
And when that person leaves, you're in real trouble.
So how does a platform like RedSeal get past that tribal knowledge and solve this fundamental visibility crisis?
It addresses it by automating the creation of the network model. They call it the network digital twin.
Okay, digital twin.
And this is a huge distinction. Instead of relying on manual diagrams, RedSeal reads the actual living device configurations. It pulls that layer 3 config data from routers, switches, firewalls, load balancers across the entire enterprise.
So it's a dynamic, always current map.
And mathematically verifiable. This foundational intelligence is what actually makes something like zero trust possible.
That's a perfect transition because the zero trust mandate, or ZT, that's the big strategic goal here. We know it's based on that idea of never trust, always verify.
Right.
But when you hear people talk about ZT, the focus is almost always on identity and endpoints. You know, who is accessing the data? Why is this deep network understanding so critical to making ZT work?
This is the part of zero trust that, you're right, it gets neglected, and it is the most critical part for resilience. Verification is literally impossible without deeply understanding the network's access paths.
So if an attacker gets past the identity layer,
which they do frequently,
then the network structure, the segmentation, that's your last line of defense.
It's the only thing left. It determines the blast radius. You have to verify not just the user's identity, but the path they're taking to get to the resource.
In OMB M22-09, it specifically directs agencies to achieve ZTA, and it emphasizes isolating sensitive environments to prevent exactly that lateral movement.
Precisely. And a platform like RedSeal provides the technical foundation for that isolation. It models every possible path an attacker could take, which allows the NetOps teams to implement macro segmentation.
Dividing the big networks into zones.
And microsegmentation, which is controlling traffic at a really granular level.
But hold on a second. If I'm an agency, I can use my firewalls. I can use my cloud security groups to set up those segmentation rules. Why do I need another tool to verify it? Isn't my firewall configuration proof enough?
That is a great question, and it really gets to the heart of the complexity problem. The configuration of one firewall might look perfectly fine in isolation.
Sure.
But segmentation doesn't rely on one device. It relies on the interaction of potentially dozens of devices, routers, switches, load balancers, and these complex network address translation or NAT devices. A simple policy change on one device might be completely negated by a routing change on another.
Oh.
So RedSeal provides the mathematical verification that these policies work across the entire complicated path. It translates all that complexity, all those config files, into a graph structure, a digital twin, that you can query and prove definitively whether a path exists or not. It's way beyond a simple configuration audit.
So mathematical verification means it takes thousands of lines of code and configurations and turns it into a verifiable network graph.
Exactly.
That you can query like a database and say, yes, this path is blocked, or no, it's actually inadvertently open.
It removes all the ambiguity.
Yeah.
All of it. And this capability is directly referenced in the CISA Zero Trust Maturity Model version 2. CISA emphasizes how important it is to understand these data flows across the network to enforce ZT effectively.
Okay, so visibility is key to ZT. Let's shift gears to one of the most, I think, frustrating tactical problems for government cybersecurity staff. Vulnerability overload.
Oh, it's a crisis.
The Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation Program, CDM, it mandated the use of scanners, which seems to have just led to this deluge of data.
They are absolutely drowning. The data we've seen points to this being just an overwhelming crisis. Agencies are running scanners like Tenable, Qualys, or Rapid7, and they're detecting tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands, of common vulnerabilities and exposures, or CVEs.
And you just can't patch 50,000 things at once.
You can't. The staff is limited. They suffer from decision paralysis.
And the standard way to decide what to patch first, using the CVSS base score, that's not really helping, is it? Because it lacks any real-world context.
Exactly. CVSS only tells you the theoretical severity of the bug itself. It doesn't tell you the risk to your organization. A critical vulnerability, a CVSS 10 on a server that is completely unreachable from the outside world, or even from other internal untrusted zones, it's a low priority.
Right. Whereas a medium severity vulnerability on an internet-facing server that's hosting a high-value asset, that's an immediate fire drill.
It's an all-hands-on-deck problem. The standard prioritization just lacks the critical context of reachability.
So this is where Red Seal comes in, to add that context and filter out all the noise. We have a pretty staggering anecdote about the impact this can have. Let's dive into that one.
This is one of the most powerful data points in all the intelligence we looked at. So a civilian agency, after deploying Red Seal and integrating it with their existing Tenable standard data, they applied this context of reachability.
Okay.
They were tracking 5,000 high-priority vulnerabilities.
5,000.
After running the analysis, they found that only four out of those 5,000 were truly critical and exposed to an attacker path.
Four out of 5,000. That is an absolutely immense reduction in workload. I mean, where was the disconnect? Were the other 4,996 not actually vulnerabilities?
Oh, they were vulnerabilities. But they were sitting behind layers of firewalls, routers, and segments that made them entirely inaccessible to any potential attacker path, internal or external, as modeled by the digital twin.
So the previous prioritization was just driving staff to spend thousands of hours patching systems that pose no immediate practical risk.
That's it. This completely shifts the team's focus. You go from this defensive triage against a tidal wave to surgically eliminating the 4 points of actual danger. This is exactly why the DHS CDM program encourages the use of the AWARE algorithm.
AWARE, which stands for Asset, Vulnerability, Attack, Risk, and Exposure.
Right. And Red Seal provides the critical attack and exposure context that actually makes AWARE functional.
That completely changes the narrative. That sounds like a massive efficiency gain, which leads us perfectly into the functional value of the platform itself. This visibility and contextual intelligence really define Red Seal's position as a pioneer in proactive exposure management.
It does.
And this approach, which I see earned them the SC Award for Best CTEM Solution, it seems to be built entirely around that concept you mentioned, the network digital twin.
It is. The core philosophy is continuous verification. It's about understanding the network configuration before an attack happens, not reacting after the fact. And the network digital twin is comprehensive. It's not just mapping IP addresses. It's ingesting layer 2 and layer 3 configuration data to understand how traffic actually flows through firewalls, routers, ACLs, NAT tables, all of it.
And the mandate for federal agencies is hybrid cloud. Does this twin model cover that full messy footprint?
Crucially, yes. It covers traditional IT on-prem, operational technology, which is increasingly vital, especially at places like the Department of Energy,
IOCD,
IoT environments, and the full multi-cloud infrastructure. By relying on that layer 23 config data, it gives you that always-on visibility, which ensures you always have the clarity and context you need for rapid risk reduction.
Okay, so you have the digital twin, the comprehensive, verifiable map. How does Red Seal use that map to go from just mapping to proactive risk mitigation?
It performs continuous attack path analysis. It models every possible path an attacker could take, not just the one they think an attacker will take. It simulates breach scenarios.
Like, what if an insider attacks here? What if the server gets compromised?
Exactly. And it does it before they strike. This is essential for preventing that lateral movement we talked about. And all of that analysis feeds directly into what they call the Red Seal risk radius scoring.
Ah, the risk radius. How is that score different from the standard CVSS score we were just criticizing?
The risk radius is all about context. It combines three key elements. First, the technical exploitability of the vulnerability. Second, the reachability. Can an attacker actually get to it from an external interface or an untrusted internal zone?
And third?
Third, the business impact of the asset being attacked. You know, is it a high-value asset, an HVA? This combination is what truly prioritizes exposures. It's all backed by transparent scoring and visual workflows, which allows a CSO to focus only on the risks that lead directly to their mission-critical assets.
That brings us back to one of the most critical parts of the Zero Trust mandate, segmentation. RedSeal doesn't just enable it. It provides continuous validation of those policies. We mentioned this idea of unintended consequences, but let's drill into that specific anecdote again because it perfectly illustrates the danger of network complexity.
This story is a classic example of why manual review just fails in these complex modern environments. The goal was simple. A customer needed to update their rules to allow DNS lookups over TCP on port 53.
Okay.
Because some of their large DNS responses were failing over UDP. So the network engineer made what seemed like a small, highly specific change to the firewall rules to allow TCP on port 53.
Sounds like standard NetApps work. I mean, what could possibly go wrong?
The unintended consequence was catastrophic. Because of how the firewalls, the routers, and the NAT rules were all stacked and interpreted, this seemingly small change for DNS over TCP inadvertently exposed almost their entire internal network to the internet.
Wait. How does allowing DNS over TCP suddenly expose the entire internal network? That seems impossible.
It comes down to the ambiguity of the policy. You see, many firewall rule sets are designed for common traffic, like DNS. But when you introduce a non-standard behavior, like running DNS over TCP, that rule might be interpreted way too broadly by the device.
Especially if it was just a generic allow port 53 rule.
Exactly. And if the configuration stack also had some implicit rules or misconfigured NAT devices that failed to enforce proper filtering on that newly opened port, suddenly the network was just wide open. RedSeal immediately flagged this massive, unintended, broad access.
Wow.
And they found the same failure mode with NTP on port 123. This is architectural risk validation, and it happens in real time.
That story is terrifying. It just highlights the vulnerability of relying on manual change review. You could have the most expensive network gear in the world, but one single engineer's change could expose everything.
Exactly. And without that continuous validation, that exposure could sit there for years just waiting for an attacker to stumble upon it.
Okay, let's shift gears to the administrative side. We've talked about the efficiency gains for the tech staff, but let's talk about the enormous bureaucratic friction in government. The authority to operate, or ATO, process.
The ATO process is probably the single biggest drain on federal IT resources and mission velocity. The data we looked at estimates the cost to be around $200,000 per authorization.
$200,000.
And that cost is driven by these extended timelines, massive documentation requirements, and the reliance on very expensive contractor hours to perform all the manual security checks.
And with zero trust requiring continuous changes, the need for ATO renewal just accelerates, right? Magnifying that cost.
Absolutely. The friction just gets worse and worse.
Where does that $200,000 actually go? Is it all just paperwork?
It's largely documentation and manual assessment time. Under the risk management framework, the RMF, assessors have to manually verify hundreds of controls. They have to chase down evidence, cross-reference documents, manually check configurations.
That sounds incredibly tedious.
It is. It usually takes 6 to 9 months of intensive labor, much of it at high contractor rates, all just to produce a system security plan. The paper document that the authorizing official has to sign, that's mission time lost.
So how does a network visibility tool like RedSeal directly cut into this massive administrative bottleneck?
It automates the most time-consuming steps of the NIST RMF and the SSP maintenance. So instead of those manual checks that consume huge amounts of staff time, RedSeal provides instant, proof-ready validation and compliance reports.
Give us that efficiency gain number again. It sounds almost unbelievable.
It's profound. That civilian agency we mentioned earlier, they reported that RedSeal reduced the time needed to evaluate their systems for specific vulnerabilities and compliance gaps from, get this, one person per month. A full month of labor just for assessment.
Down to what?
Down to 15 minutes.
15 minutes.
This efficiency allows federal staff to pivot immediately from this protracted assessment to actual mitigation. That is mission acceleration.
And crucially, this automated verification allows the authorizing official, the executive who is taking on the personal liability, to sign off with some actual confidence.
That confidence is built on RedSeal's predictive analysis, the what-if analysis. Teams can model proposed changes before they go live. They can verify that a change won't inadvertently violate a policy or open up a new attack path.
So it guarantees ATO maintenance integrity. It ensures surprise-free audits.
Exactly. The anecdote about the CCRI, the Cyber Command Readiness Inspection, is a perfect example of this.
Tell us about that CCRI audit.
So the CCRI is essentially a surprise military inspection. A highly skilled team shows up unannounced and tries to break into your systems. One agency was subjected to this, and because Red Seal was continuously modeling and validating their network against mandatory standards, the network audit came back clean. That continuous assurance saved the day. Without it, they would have likely faced severe findings and corrective actions that would have paralyzed the agency for months.
This functionality is all driven by Red Seal's portfolio. Let's look at how their products align with these federal requirements, starting with Red Seal Classic, which is the established backbone for on-premise assurance.
Red Seal Classic is defined by its inside-out Layer 3 network modeling. It looks at the traditional data center. By taking config data from core network devices, routers, switches, firewalls, it builds that complete model, and that immediately addresses the first step of compliance, just knowing what you have.
Which speaks directly to that ongoing problem of shadow IT and unknown assets, a fundamental requirement of the CDM program's hardware asset management and software asset management.
Absolutely. Traditional agent-based inventory often misses unmanaged devices or even entire subnets. Red Seal automates this discovery by reading the actual routing tables and ARP caches of the network devices themselves. It identifies subnets and hosts that are often completely unknown to central IT.
And back to vulnerability management for a second. We established Red Seal as the context engine. How does Classic integrate with the existing federal scanners like Tenable?
It takes that raw, voluminous scan data and it contextualizes it with network reachability. This isn't just a simple filter, it's a detailed risk calculation. It confirms if an attacker can actually traverse the network to reach the vulnerable asset.
So instead of 5,000 findings, you get a focused list of the 4 or 5 items that pose immediate demonstrable risk to the mission.
Exactly. It aligns perfectly with that DHS CDM aware algorithm.
Now, for the Department of Defense and many civilian agencies, compliance with DISA STIG's security technical implementation guides is mandatory, and that is notoriously manual, dense, and painful work for NetOps teams.
It's one of the biggest efficiency gains for the operational staff. Red Seal automates these continuous checks against mandatory DISA STIGs and security requirements guides, or SRGs, for all the major vendors, Cisco, Juniper, Palo Alto Networks. It continuously parses those config files and measures them against the hundreds of detailed requirements in the STIGs.
And the level of detail here is what's really revolutionary, isn't it? It's not just flagging STIG 4.2.1 failed.
That's right. For the NetOps team, which is struggling to maintain dozens of devices, Red Seal provides detailed remediation guidance, including the incredibly specific and critical information about the precise configuration file line that needs to be changed to achieve compliance.
That saves countless hours.
It removes the need for engineers to manually sift through thousands of lines of code or complex STIG checklists. It's precision remediation.
And beyond compliance, let's look at incident response. When a breach happens, time is everything. That aligns with the mandates in EO 14028 to improve response capabilities.
Red Seal provides immediate critical context that is usually missing during a panic. When an infected host is identified, the first question for incident responders is always, what's the blast radius?
What can this thing reach?
Right. Red Seal instantaneously answers that question. What can this infected host reach? By visualizing all the possible lateral movement paths in seconds, it allows teams to contain the threat more effectively and determine the true scope of the compromise rapidly.
Okay, now let's address the big shifts toward cloud. The Cloud Smart strategy means agencies are aggressively moving workloads to AWS, Azure, and Google Cloud, and traditional network tools really struggle here.
They do. Visibility just drops off a cliff once traffic enters a virtual private cloud, a VPC, which is full of these ephemeral resources. And that's where Red Seal Stratus comes in.
So Stratus is positioned as a cloud-native application protection platform, a CNAPPP.
Correct. It's specifically designed for this hybrid multi-cloud reality. It understands the unique language of cloud networking. Its core mission is unified visibility, visualizing connectivity across the physical data center and the cloud assets. It maps those crucial seams where security gaps often form.
Between on-prem and cloud VPCs.
Exactly. Through VPNs, Direct Connect, all of it.
And cloud environments are inherently dynamic. How does Stratus maintain that continuous visibility when resources are being spun up and torn down constantly?
It uses a cloud-native approach. So instead of traditional agents, it reads the APIs of the cloud providers, the network policies, security groups, route tables, NACLs. This ensures that even in highly dynamic containerized environments like Kubernetes clusters, the platform provides deep, continuous visibility into the security posture.
You also mentioned it goes beyond basic cloud security posture management, or CSPM. How does Stratus calculate reachability in the cloud differently?
Basic CSPM gives you a list of misconfigurations, right? Like an overly permissive security group. RedSeal Stratus calculates the net effect of reachability.
Okay, what does that mean?
It asks, even if that security group looks permissive, is there a route table entry or a NAT gateway or a firewall on the hybrid connection that actually blocks the path? It combines all these configuration layers to tell you if that critical cloud resource is truly exposed to the public internet. It avoids the rampant false positives that plague other cloud security tools.
So let's loop back to the DHS Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation Program. RedSeal provides all this critical data, but how does it fit into the existing CDM ecosystem?
It really acts as the verifier or the context engine for the whole ecosystem. It supports multiple CDM capabilities, specifically Network Security Management, BOUND, and Vulnerability Management, VUL.
So it verifies the effectiveness of the other sensors.
It does. The clean, contextualized data that RedSeal generates can be fed into the agency and federal CDM dashboards. It ensures that the risk reporting going up to DHS and OMB is accurate and actionable, not just raw sensor outputs.
This brings us to a crucial current market disruption. The intelligence we gathered points to a massive, immediate opportunity for RedSeal in the federal space. The abrupt shutdown of Skybox security operations in early 2025.
This was a seismic event in the risk management world. Skybox's failure created a huge crisis of continuity across numerous federal components, military and civilian, that relied heavily on the platform.
It left a vacuum.
A vacuum that agencies have to fill immediately. This isn't just about losing a feature. Running unsupported security software is a major compliance risk that no authorizing official can sign off on.
So the market is now flooded with federal customers urgently looking for a replacement. Now, we know TUFIN acquired the Skybox assets. Mm-hmm. You could argue they're the logical choice. Why do our sources say RedSeal is a superior functional replacement?
That's the critical point of differentiation. TUFIN's historical strength is firewall policy orchestration, automating rule changes, managing complex rule bases. It's an operational focus.
Okay.
But Skybox's real value to the federal risk teams was its deep network modeling and attack path analysis. RedSeal is the natural successor to that risk-centric capability.
So RedSeal is a better fit for the network assurance and visualization teams, whereas TUFIN is positioned for firewall operations management.
Exactly. RedSeal's focus on the entire Layer 3 infrastructure routers, switches, load balancers, NAT devices gives a more comprehensive and verifiable view of reachability. That's what the risk managers valued in Skybox.
And in the risk-averse federal culture, stability is everything.
It is. The sudden collapse of Skybox makes the flight to safety argument for RedSeal, with its long tenure and crucial DoDIN APL certification, incredibly powerful.
Given this immediate high-stakes situation, what's the strategic action plan for the RedSeal sales team to capitalize on this?
It has to be an immediate and highly targeted rescue and modernize campaign. Step one is identification. Use federal procurement data, something like U.S. spending, to pinpoint the agencies that were running Skybox.
And step two.
Urgency. Emphasize the risk of running orphan technology and position RedSeal as the immediate, stable, APL-certified safe harbor.
And practically, how do they overcome the friction of switching solutions?
They have to differentiate based on that modeling superiority. And crucially, they need to offer rapid migration incentives, you know, specialized switch programs, professional services designed to quickly transition network data and policies from Skybox to RedSeal to minimize downtime. Immediacy is the key to winning these contracts.
Now, let's shift focus to the highest priority targets, the agencies with the greatest budget, mission criticality, and complexity. This is where adoption can have the greatest impact. We have four primary Tier 1 agencies identified.
We call them the Big Four cybercritical agencies. First up is the Department of Homeland Security, or DHS, and specifically CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency.
CISA manages the entire CDM program and aggregates all that data for Congress. What's the priority use case there?
The priority use case is to be the CDM analytics engine. CISA's challenge is turning these vast amounts of raw CDM sensor data into actionable risk intelligence. The GAO has even noted their struggles with data integration and providing a clear, accurate risk picture.
So the strategic angle is to position RedSeal as the context engine for CDM, guaranteeing the accuracy of the risk scores they report up to Congress and OMB.
Exactly. Red Seal cleans, correlates, and contextualizes all that asset and vulnerability data before it ever hits the federal dashboard. It verifies that the risk scores they're reporting are based on real, reachable exposures, not just theoretical ones.
Next, we move to the Department of Veterans Affairs, the VA. They run the largest integrated healthcare system and hold just a staggering amount of sensitive veteran data.
The VA's network is massive and incredibly complex. It's this mix of legacy systems with the urgent need for new tech. Their critical pain point is securing the rapidly expanding ecosystem of medical devices.
So their priority use case is microsegmentation for IoMT, the Internet of Medical Things.
Mm-hmm.
Why are those IoMT devices such a huge risk at the VA?
Many of these medical devices are legacy systems that simply cannot be patched. If an infusion pump or an MRI machine running an old operating system gets compromised, it could be used as a beachhead to move laterally right into the veteran data network, which houses all that highly sensitive PHI.
So Red Seals needed to visualize and verify the segmentation policies protecting these thousands of unpatchable devices.
Right, from the general networks and from third-party access. The strategic angle here is patient safety and veteran data privacy.
Moving on. The Department of Energy, or DOE, their mission involves securing our critical infrastructure, including the power grid.
The DOE's primary concern is IT-OT convergence. They have to secure the boundary between the corporate IT network, where all the phishing emails are received, and the critical operational technology systems that actually control the power grid. A compromise moving from a corporate laptop to the OT network is a national security disaster.
So the Red Seal use case is laser-focused on IT-OT boundary protection.
Correct. They need guaranteed assurance that the air gap, or the segmentation boundary between corporate IT and the OT control systems, is impermeable. Red Seal visualizes the network and ensures the integrity of that boundary, proving mathematically that no unauthorized paths exist.
And rounding out the big four, we have the Department of Health and Human Services, or HHS.
HHS is a highly federated agency. They're the custodian of the nation's health data, disease tracking systems, cutting-edge vaccine research. Their critical pain point is protecting their most sensitive data, their high-value assets.
So their use case is HVA protection and research security.
Exactly. Red Seal maps the incredibly sensitive data paths to those HVAs, ensuring strict isolation from the internet and from less trusted internal zones. The pitch here is all about secure collaboration, allowing researchers to securely share data while the underlying network segmentation is continuously and mathematically verified.
We also identified some Tier 2 agencies with very mission-specific opportunities, starting with the U.S. Postal Service.
The USPS is a massive retail operation. Millions of credit card transactions every day across thousands of locations. Their constant pain point is mandated PCI compliance.
So their use case is automated PCI segmentation testing.
That's it. Manually testing the segmentation boundaries required by PCI for thousands of retail points is incredibly resource-intensive and expensive. Red Seal automates this continuous testing and proof of segmentation. The angle here is pure cost reduction through automation.
And finally, for Department of Defense components.
For DoD components like the Defense Logistics Agency or the Defense Health Agency, the priority use case is compliance continuity. Red Seal is already on the Bowdoin-approved products list, the APL, which is a major hurdle to clear.
Right.
Amid all the changing APL processes and the chaos from the Skybox transition, Red Seal's proven approved status minimizes procurement risk. The angle is proven, approved, and stable.
Okay, now that we've identified the targets, we have to address the decision makers. In federal sales, the message has to be tailored to the specific pain points of each key persona. Let's break those down.
We start at the top with the authorizing official, the AO. This is the senior executive, often an assistant secretary or a chief of staff, who takes on personal liability for the system.
What is the AO's deep personal pain point?
It's fear and liability. Their question is always, am I signing off on a disaster that's going to ruin my career? They're typically non-technical, and they're overwhelmed by these massive paper-based system security plans that offer only static, outdated assurance. They need confidence.
So the pitch to the AO has to be highly targeted.
The pitch is assurance and confidence. Red Seal provides digital resilience assurance. It transforms that static paper risk into a dynamic, mathematically verified model. It allows you to sign the authority to operate with confidence, knowing the architecture is verified in real time, backed by continuous proof, not just a checklist.
Next, the Chief Information Security Officer, or CISO. Their world is all about strategy, metrics, and resource management.
The CISO's pain point is that brutal combination of resource starvation and audit fatigue. They have too few staff to handle the volume of vulnerabilities and the accelerating compliance demands, like the zero trust mandate. They need leverage.
So the pitch has to frame the investment as a force multiplier.
Exactly. Red Seal is a force multiplier. By eliminating the noise of unreachable vulnerabilities, saving thousands of hours of wasted patching, and automating the evidence collection for OIG audits, we give your limited team back critical time. This helps you efficiently greenlight your OMB M22090 zero trust requirements without needing to hire dozens of new expensive contractors.
Now let's move to the operational champion, the Information System Security Officer, the ISO, or the Audit Manager. These are the people living the day-to-day compliance grind.
Their pain point is chasing false positives, the endless manual RMF checks, and the constant stress of potential negative audit findings. They just need efficiency and certainty in their day-to-day work.
What's the specific quantifiable message for them?
We focus on speed and reliability. We drastically cut assessment time from one person per month of manual work to just 15 minutes of automated reporting. We provide the proof-ready compliance reports you need for audit teams, guaranteeing surprise-free compliance and freeing you up to focus on high-impact mitigation, not just assessment.
And finally, the person who actually builds and maintains the network, the network engineer or architect, NetOps. They manage incredible complexity and are often blamed when security issues or outages happen.
Their pain point is complexity, troubleshooting, and being caught in the crossfire between security and operations. They need a tool that makes their operational life easier and helps them avoid outages.
So the pitch here has to frame Red Seal as a NetOps enablement tool, not just another security burden.
Exactly. Red Seal is a network operations platform. Use it to troubleshoot connectivity faster by visualizing the entire network's routing, firewall blocks, and NATs in one place. You can model changes before implementation to prevent those catastrophic unintended consequences and instantly prove whether a connectivity issue is a firewall block or a routing error, getting everyone aligned and off the phone faster.
This detailed tailoring of the message to each stakeholder's specific pain points is absolutely crucial for success in that high-stakes federal environment.
So we've completed a pretty exhaustive deep dive here, driven by this overwhelming imperative for modernization across the federal government. The challenges are clear. Outdated compliance models, overwhelming vulnerability data, resource scarcity, and that huge bureaucratic friction of the ATO process.
And we've seen how a platform like Red Seal addresses these head-on, delivering that triple value proposition. Visibility through the network digital twin. Validation by continuously verifying segmentation and compliance like STEGS. And velocity by automating the RMF and ATO assessment process.
And the quantifiable benefit isn't theoretical. It's immense, and it's self-funding. By automating the evidence collection and continuous verification for the RMF, Red Seal directly mitigates that estimated $200,000 cost associated with each authority to operate.
That frees up resources and allows agencies to truly accelerate their speed to mission, rather than being chronically slowed down by paper-driven compliance.
And with the immediate strategic opportunity presented by a competitor like Skybox leaving the market, federal agencies are urgently seeking a stable, proven, and functionally superior replacement. The time for adoption is right now.
The imperative is clear. The government has to embrace the reality that the network is now effectively code. It's software-defined, it's dynamic, it's complex.
And to secure that kind of environment, you just cannot rely on manual diagrams, static assumptions, or hope that a small configuration change won't inadvertently expose your mission-critical data.
Which leads us with this final provocative thought for you to consider. If your mission, your national security, and your personal professional liability depend on the integrity of your network architecture, are you relying on code-based mathematical validation, the network digital twin? Or are you still gambling the security of the nation based on manual assumptions and static paper that practically guarantees the law of unintended consequences will strike?